In your Bibles, the book of John chapter 1, remain standing, John chapter 1, and I'm glad we can say we're a child of the King, amen, because of that precious blood that Christ shed for us, and I thank the Lord for that tonight. John chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse number 35, and I want to give some Bible instruction tonight. I may not get real wound up, whatever, but I do want to give us what's in the Word of God. Amen. And I do believe that we need to follow some instruction with some things that we're going to look at tonight and helping us and help getting those that are lost to come to Christ. And so I want to try to preach a little bit tonight out of this passage and some other places. We're really going to begin here and look at some other places tonight. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 35. John chapter 1 and verse 35. The Bible says again, the next day after John stood unto his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where it dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth in the Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight one more time the privilege to open the Word of God, to stand and to preach the Word of God. Oh, Father, I pray now tonight you'd give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I pray give me a traveling mind through the Scripture. I bring back to my remembrance the things that you've been stirring in my heart. I pray tonight for that one that's lost. May this be the night they be saved. Help us as your people. May we be receiving the instruction of the Word and apply it as we leave this place. And everything you do, we'll thank and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back beginning in verse 40 tonight, where the Bible says that one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Then look at verse number 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I'm going to preach the Lord helping me just a few minutes on this thought of reaching the lost. Reaching the lost, as we find here in John chapter 1. Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. He has begun calling some disciples now. And we are noticing that when they begin to follow the Lord, they automatically begin to want somebody else to come follow Jesus too. And ladies and gentlemen, I will say this, and hear me good tonight. All of us who are saved should have a desire to reach somebody lost with the gospel, that they too can be saved and they too would serve God as you and I tried to serve the Lord. And we find in the scripture there's much said about reaching those who are lost. Now I'm just going to give you Bible instruction. You're not going to shout probably a lick tonight, but you can hear this and apply it. It'll help you. Amen. Tonight there's a great need in our day for people to go out and compel lost folk to come in the house of God, to compel them to come to Christ, that they too would be saved. And so we're going to look at this thing of reaching the lost. There's three things I will look at tonight, and I'll let you go. Number one, we need to go to them. That's what we find here in this passage. You find in verse 40, Andrew, he goes to find his brother. For it said in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon. We find Philip in verse 45, going to find Nathanael. They went and got them, went where they were. Now, here's some things I want you to notice. It said there that word, findeth them. That means to be searching, to find something or someone that's been sought. In other words, they went looking on purpose to go find their brother or go find somebody else, to bring them to Christ. There is a on purpose thing happening here. It's not by chance of meeting somebody, but they had a plan and they set out to bring somebody else to Christ. Now, let me say this, too, about our King James Bible. That ETH, anytime you find it, as you're reading, understand that means a continuous action. In other words, they didn't just try one moment and give up, but they kept looking for them until they found them. Amen. And so we find that they are going after them. Now, two things as we talk about going to them. Number one, we're going to all people. Amen. Nobody should be left out of those telling them about Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought about this in this verse. Andrew, he first began to seek a family member. We all have family members that's lost. And we ought to have a desire to bring them to Christ. I thought about this today. I'm glad I've had the privilege with my children thus far to be the one to lead them to Christ. I'd feel robbed. Are you hearing me? I'd feel robbed if I didn't get to lead one of my children to Christ. Amen. I want my children saved. I want relatives saved. I've got a brother lost and a sister-in-law lost. Amen. Other things that go on in my mind as I think about family that doesn't know Christ. I sure want to win my family out of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know we'll say, well, preacher, it's hard to win your family. I know it can be difficult, but it's not impossible. Amen. We ought to at least try. Amen. And by the way, keeping a good relationship with them is the first step of winning them. Amen. I know there's families that fuss and fight all the time, and that's sad. That's very sad. But if you're going to win them to God, you're going to have to get along with them the best you can. Amen. And so we find, Brother Andrew goes and he wants to find Simon Peter and bring him to Christ. Hey, I think about over there in John chapter 4. We find there that the Lord goes after a woman who's living in sin. This woman of Samaria. Hey, her life's a wreck. Are you listening to me? Now, I want everybody to hear me real good. People sin because they're sinners. Amen. You ain't never had to teach nobody to sin. And by the way, you'd be as bad as them or worse had you not got saved when you did. Amen. They are nobody better than anybody else. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Hey, this woman in John chapter 4, hey, everybody's done forsook her, even those that are lost in this town. You listening to me? They won't even go draw water with her from the well. She's having to go at 12 noon. Women in Bible days drawed it in the morning and drawed it in the evening time. They wanted nothing to do with her. Amen. But guess what? Jesus on purpose went through Samaria, sat down on that well that she was coming to draw from and waited on her till she showed up. Amen. You say, preacher, wasn't he afraid of being identified? Absolutely not. He came to save sinners. Amen. And friend, it don't matter how far down in sin a person may be, we need to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you could be in worse shape. Amen. I have real problems in a crowd talking about knowing the Lord, but looks down their nose at everybody. That bothers me. Amen. Hey, I was raised on the wrong side of the track. I was raised in a bad situation, but I'm glad somebody, I still had a desire, had to take me to Jesus. Amen. We find that this woman at the well, she's living in sin. She's been married several times, and now she is shacking up. That's right, and that is what it is. I know we got better work, you know, make it nicer, saying cohabitate and living together. But it's a sin. It is a sin. Amen. But I don't tell you, God can deliver from that. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad he can deliver. Amen. Hey, Jesus went to the woman at the well. Hey, in Mark chapter 5, he went after one old boy that lived in the tombs. His life's a wreck too. I preached about him just the other Sunday. Man, he's running around naked. He's living among the dead. He's a cutting himself. He's a crying out. Hey, why? He's miserable. Amen. Hey, he has no meaning to life. That's right. But Jesus put his disciples in a storm and got on the other side, and there was that old man that was full of the devils. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad? By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out. You're going to keep noticing. It keeps saying, there's a man, there's a woman. One. One. I'm glad when you have a service and several get saved one time. That's wonderful. I'll shout about it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I'll shout over one. I keep finding this Bible that one is as important as a multitude. Amen. Hey, Jesus went into Gadara. By the way, that ain't a good town neither. Amen. Hey, but he went over there for that boy to get them devils cast out of him. Amen. Him to receive Christ. Hey, that's why he went. Amen. Hey, we're going to meet folk. Man, I mean, their life is absolutely wrecked by sin. Amen. Oh, listen, may I say this? Over there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, God, I sent an evangelist by the name of Philip down to Gaza, down to a desert place for an Ethiopian eunuch. Hey, what does that mean, preacher? He's interested in other nationalities, and it don't matter what color or religious affiliation or your background. Amen. Hey, that bothers me too. Jesus died for everybody. Amen. Not just some little group. Are you listening to me? Hey, and he sent Philip down for one Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. Hey, the Lord's in sending you after somebody. He teaches us in Scripture that we're to reach all. We're to go after them with the gospel of Christ. But not only in all people, but let me say this, all places. Amen. Now it gets tougher on the flesh. Now you might as well admit this, when you're around folk you don't really know, you're not really counting, you get a little nervous, all that, but sometimes you just gotta learn to push on. Amen. Somebody took time to talk to you. Amen. And a lot of these places I've done talk about these individuals. He went in and he sent others in to some places that was not liked. Amen. Hey, can I say this? There in John 4, Acts chapter 8, we find Samaria's mentioned. That ain't the place the Jews wanted to go. Hey, it was a straight shot if they was traveling up and down in Israel, but they'd go the long way around to keep from going through Samaria. But hey, John 4 and verse 4, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. I do. I just think about want to go to shouting. I'm being honest. And when I quote it, when I read it, there's something down the back side of my soul begins to kick up. What's that verse say? And he must needs go through Samaria on purpose. Not by, great God in heaven, not by chance, not on accident, but on purpose he went to Samaria. Amen. Hey, that's the place down there. They're half-breeds and everything else down there. There's some mean folk down in Samaria. You listening to me? But hey, Jesus said, we're going that way today, fellas. Amen. That's right. Sometimes the Lord's going to have you go down there, that little trailer park where they have nothing. Amen. Are you listening to me? Down to the projects or somewhere else. And sometimes aromas are not good and people don't look like you think they ought to look. But hey, they have a soul. Amen. He went through Samaria. Hey, what about this? And on down in Acts chapter 8 by Philip, God sent him to a desert place. It ain't a resort. There's nothing. Amen. Hey, he sent them to out-of-way places to reach somebody for the gospel. Amen. Hey, not only that, but what about in Acts 17? About Paul at Mars Hill? I won't camp right here a second. Through my ministry, I've had some of the brethren through the years as I began to preach more and more meetings. And when that happens, they all begin to want to talk to you after that. And think they come by, where are you preaching at next week, preacher? And you go to tell them, they'll say, you really going to go preach for him? And I say, yes, I am. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You listen real good. Your preachers preach revivals in Free Will Baptist churches. I have even preached in a Church of God one time. You say, you really went? I sure did. But guess what? Message didn't change. I preached this blessed old book to people just like they are. Amen. Hey, here's my thing. If it's all right for Paul to go to Mars Hill and preach, it's all right to go wherever they'll let you come preach. Amen. That's right. They have souls. Amen. They need somebody to carry the gospel to them. Hey, that same way with witnessing. There may be some places. They say, well, I wouldn't go down there. That's where you ought to take off to. Amen. Hey, there's people down there that need Christ. Hey, there's a lot of, hey, can I say something? Not only in bad sides, but hey, you know what? Wealthy folk need Jesus too. Amen. Oh, preacher. Preacher, they ain't nobody with money ever come to Gateway. How do you know? Have you ever tried to win one of them? Hello? Hey, they may have a lot of money, but hey, you just getting on them real well. They're miserable. They're worried about a lot of things in their life. And listen, you've got what gives peace, and his name's Jesus. Amen. Hey, he can give riches that can't be taken away. That's right. Hey, we find in that wealth in there. Hey, don't be ashamed. You say, preacher, I'm not very eloquent in my speech. Go anyhow if you have the opportunity. Amen. Hey, what about the political realm? People get scared and you get talking about that. They need the Lord. Several years ago, I was involved in a prayer breakfast for one of our representatives there in North Carolina, and he wasn't the party a lot of folk maybe was thinking they ought to be and all that stuff. But they had asked us about it. They said, you give that other fellow a prayer breakfast after prayer, would you do it for him? We said, we sure would. You said, what'd you do? We gave him a Bible like we did the other fellow. And they asked me, said, Brother David, would you be the one to present that Bible? Said, I'll do it. I said, this restless crowd might be afraid to be up there to him. It don't bother me. I gave him that Bible that day. I said, sir, you let us know you're saved. That's your testimony. You talked about your mom and your grandma teaching you to do right when they wasn't around. I said, sir, I'm handing you a Bible from somebody that's going to see every move you made, every vote you cast. Oh, yeah, I did. I wasn't afraid. Why? He needed to know. Amen. Hey, we find that they go. The Bible said to go to them. Go to all people in every place. By the way, you better go while you can. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I want to show you something in the book of Acts just a minute. Look over in Acts chapter 8. We find in verse 5, Philip's at that revival in Samaria. By the way, revival broke out. There's a bunch of folk getting saved. They're getting saved left and right. It's good. Oh, man, he's enjoying it. But then when you get down to verse 26, look at that. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The Lord said, go down there. You leave this big revival, go down there. He gets down there. What's he got? One man. One man. The Lord said, that's where I've sent you go, boy. Amen. Well, here's the thing. He was led of the Lord to do it, and he done it. Well, do you understand something? There are times when the Lord's going to tell you no when you're witnessing. I know that has shocked some of you, but that's right. There's going to be times he's going to say, no, you can't witness them right now. You say, I don't believe that. Would you believe the Bible? Would you believe what the Bible said? Would you? Well, let's look at it there and look on down into Acts chapter 16 just a minute then. Look over to Acts chapter 16. We're going to find an interesting event takes place here in the life of Paul the apostle. Hey, Paul's going at where he can preaching the gospel. All right? Acts chapter 16, look at verse 6 and verse 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, listen to this, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. He said, hey, the Holy Ghost, said Paul, you can't go. Are you listening? That's the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. That's the Bible. Verse 7, after they were come into my, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Tried another place. He said, no again. You hear me? You better witness when God gave that green light, because later on you may not have a green light. There are several reasons why that can happen. Number one, they're just not really ready, and the Lord knows it. You hear me? On the other hand, they may have told the Lord no too many times. Amen. If the Holy Ghost says no, fellas, you don't do it. Amen. I told the Lord a long time ago about living for him, preaching for him. Wherever he'd open door, whatever he said, I'd do it. But if he says no, I don't do it. I've just come to learn that. Amen. So while you have the opportunity, the green light's on, go. Talk to them about their soul. Because it could be a time God's going to let them sit idle for a while, not even mess with them. You hear me? Or they might take to the place that they are so hard in their heart that they maybe be turned over to a reprobate mind. That does happen too. Amen. That ain't preached a lot no more, Brother Bill, but that's still right. It happens. Amen. So we see in reaching all, he said, go to them. And we're to go with concern and compassion. Let them know you care. Let them know your heart is touched over the condition of their soul. That's right. You know what? It's hard to get real mad at somebody when they're talking to you and they can't hardly hold the tears back when they're trying to talk to you about the things of God. You know that? if they can sense that compassion in you, oh my. It'll go. They may have to say, boys, I've got to go, and they're going to run, or you're going to have to leave. I got something to do. But what's happening? That compassion. They're saying, boy, they're serious about this thing. They're praying for me. They really want me to get saved. Amen. So we're to go to them. Let me say number two. We're to give to them. You say, what in the world do you mean by that, preacher? Well, by what we find in all these different places I mentioned to you tonight, in John chapter 1 again, and verse 41, he first finding his own brother Simon, saith unto him, listen to this, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. In verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You know what we're to present them with? Jesus. Amen. It's not about a theological debate. Are you listening to this preacher tonight? It ain't getting in an argument. Amen. We're to go present Jesus Christ to sinners. You don't go up to a sinner and begin tearing down everything they're doing. Hey, you need to present Christ to him. Hey, you fellas that fish, you ever cleaned a fish on the line in the water? Why, no. When do you clean the fish? After you get it out of the water and you get it to shore, you get to gutting and cleaning it up. You don't do nothing that fish out in the water. Hey, a sinner, you can make him change everything about himself and he can die and go to hell like that. But if you get him to Jesus, he'll begin making the change. Amen. We find over there in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went up the temple to hour of prayer. Hey, there's this lame man. He's a begging alms. Peter looks at him in verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I want to ask you something. You got any of that such as I have? Amen. Boys, that will preach, by the way. That such as I have. He said, now listen, I ain't got silver and I ain't got gold, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus. Hey, he's letting him know, son, I can't help you. I can't change you. There's one I met one day. I was just an old rough cussing fisherman myself. And he came by and said, follow me. And he changed me. Hey, he can help you. Amen. Amen. Hey, over there in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, Philip's at the revival in Samaria. What's he preaching to him? It said he preached Christ. Amen. And when he was led of the Lord to go down to Gaza, leave Samaria in that revival, and he got down there and found that eunuch in his chair reading Isaiah 53. What did old Philip do down there? And he got up in the chair. The Bible tells me in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, he preached Jesus. Amen. Hey, they need to know the one you know. That's right. Acts chapter 16, verse 30-31. We find that jailer man that night after God done shook the jail. Everybody's chains fell out. The doors have swung open. He's afraid now. Hey, and he's about to take us out. Paul said, don't, we're here. And that man came in. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Give them Jesus. Amen. Hey, all that other stuff can start being took care of later. But they need to get their heart right with God first. Amen. Hey, by the way, I've told this a while back. Remember, we are two and three generations deep now, people that don't know the Lord. And you're going to be winning folk that know nothing now. Amen. Most of us have been raised in church, and we got said, you know what? We knew automatically some things we had to change. They wasn't a question. We got people now know nothing. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, you're going to have to work with them a little bit more. Amen. And by the way, folk are bringing more baggage with them in this day They are. They've had a lot of stuff going in their life. And they're going to contend with to the day they die. Hello. What they need is Jesus. They need Jesus. He changed your life. He changed my life. He can change their life. Amen. Hey, not only we need to go to them and give to them, but let me say number three, and I'm done. We need to glorify the Lord before them. Amen. When they get saved, we ought to praise God. You know, I was thinking today about in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches this sermon, and thousands have got saved. And you know what? When that chapter ends in verse 47, you know what the church of the living God's doing? It starts out praising God. I believe y'all shout over sinners being saved too. I will not. You can do it if you want to, but I will not. I refuse when somebody gets saved to fold my arms down, of course, well, let's give them 6 months. I ain't doing that. What are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to have myself a spell. I'm going to shout it because in Luke 15, there's rejoicing in heaven, verse 7, and verse 10, in the presence of the angels. That's Jesus in verse 10. If they can praise God in heaven over sinners being saved, then right here on earth in the house of God, when somebody walks the aisle, we ought to rejoice. Amen. Give glory to God. He did it. Amen. If they got saved, he did it. That's right. Oh, preacher, aren't you worried? Hey, the Lord's going to handle all that other stuff. That's right. We need to go get them. Bring them. We need to get over a lot of stuff and understand their souls in the balance. That's right. Get them to Jesus. Now, if you'll get them here and they'll keep coming, they're going to have to do one of two things. You listen? If you can get them here and they'll keep coming, they'll have to do one of two things. They'll either get right or they're going to run. That's where you got one day too. Amen? That's right. Somebody kept talking to you. Some of you, about like me, maybe it was a family member. You was all right as long as they talked about the weather. Talked how much they loved y'all. That was great. But boy, when they change that conversation about your soul, it's time to leave and go somewhere else. You remember them days? I remember them days. Buddy, my family witnessed me left and right. They loved me greatly, but they was really concerned about my soul. Amen. Oh, friend, we need to glorify the Lord. Give him glory when sinners are saved. I'm looking at something for Wednesday night. It kind of is feeding off of this message. I want to try to help us with some more instruction Wednesday night. But I want to tell you something. We need to go one-on-one. Now, I'm all for church-wide stuff. That's great. That's great. I'm all right with door knocking. Go, 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 all you can. But I want to tell you the best soul win you'll ever do is one-on-one. One-on-one is going to be your best. And you'll win that neighbor, and you'll win that family member because of your burden for them, and your consistency before them, you're going to win them faster than you ever dreamed of. Really and truly. When you get under that burden like you need, and that's our problem, we don't have a burden. Amen? We're so busy with just living in our day. Amen? We need to remember there's another place other than right now. There's an eternity. Amen? Though you don't see eternity right now, it's there. And everybody's going somewhere in eternity. Heaven or hell, that's the only two destinations they are in eternity. Heaven or hell, that's where they're going. And if they're not saved, we know they're going to hell. Amen? So we want to take them to Christ that they get saved by the good grace of God. Father, take the message, use it now. Help us all, Lord, in being that witness for you. Lord, you did say going to highways and hedges, compel them to go in. And Lord, there's very many opportunities you give us daily. Help us take full advantage of it, not to shirk our responsibility. Help us, Lord, not to excuse ourselves away, but help us, Lord, to be faithful in telling somebody about Jesus. Lord, I thank you for people around this church that's got a burden. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I pray give them a greater burden. God, thrill their soul more, raise up more folk to do it. But Lord, help us all everywhere we go to
I want to tell somebody how precious you are. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Head's bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to deliver what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Is there someone here by lifting hands and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know the Lord as Savior. Pray for me tonight." Anybody like that? "Preacher, I'm not saved. I know it. And I need the Lord." Anybody? I see that hand. Somebody else, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need the Lord." How many of us that are saved tonight, God touched our heart and said, "Preacher, remember me. I do need to be a greater witness." God's touched my heart and reminded me. Hey, hands are going up everywhere. I raised my hand along with you. We sure need to go after them like never before. Time's about to run out. Jesus is coming. It could be tonight, could be tomorrow. We don't know the exact moment, but we know by looking at the Word in this world, man, we're at the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And those around us are lost, need somebody to take time and tell them about Jesus. Let's stand as we sing tonight. This altar's open. Will you come? Lord, help me. Help me to be that soul winner.